the Gathering in Ireland.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. My guest in studio is Aideen Maloney, and let's get this out of the way up front. Yes, she is the daughter of a very good friend of ours, and I'm sure a household name worldwide, Paddy Maloney of the famous Chieftains. Aideen, you're very welcome.
Hi, Aideen. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, I want to pass on my very best wishes, as always, to somebody I've always considered to be a great friend, your dad, and also your mom.
Likewise. I was telling them I was coming here to see you today, and they were overjoyed, and they said, oh, please give them our love.
Well, yeah. And that's it now. There'll be no more of that. Let's talk about your good self and your company, Fallen Angel Theatre Company, which was founded when? Will you finish?
In 2003. I felt there was a gap in the market for Irish and British women writers here in the U.S. Contemporary writers, you know, whose works at that time were not being produced. Mm-hmm. There's still a gap, but it has closed in a good bit, thank goodness, in the last 10 years. So that's what we do, yeah, Fallen Angel.
Yeah, but you were ahead of your time there, mm-hmm, as well, and not everybody would have thought at that time that there was, much need to go into an already overcrowded market, mm-hmm, and indeed in bringing the type of exposure and indeed the talents of primarily women who were kind of the also-rans of the theater of mm-hmm, Irish theater, particularly when it came to touring or traveling,
mm-hmm,
so that would not everybody would have said, "Hey, great idea," and do what is necessary when you're starting off like that, as mm-hmm, put the bucks up, you know.
Yeah, well, we were to be honest with you, when we founded the company, it was received very well by, you know, we got our not-for-profit status and our, you know, incorporated, uh-huh, the company. And it was there was a big gap in the market, and it happened all very,
yeah,
quickly. And, you know, the Department of Education believed that we had something, a product that was very much scarce at that time, and still is. What we're trying to do is provide a company where playwrights, women playwrights, can feel safe,
mm-hmm,
experimenting with their work, and they feel they have a voice, you know, where their work can be heard.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Very good. You are currently, and we were delighted to be there for your opening night, Anya Sheridan and myself. You're currently featuring in Charlotte Jones' Air Swimming. First, mm-hmm, of all, Charlotte Jones, what's her story?
Charlotte is an English playwright from England, and she wrote, this was her first play, Air Swimming, which was written in 96, and
mm-hmm,
which proves my point that here is a great playwright and a great piece that has not been produced on a professional level here in the United States.
Mm.
Charlotte is best known for her play Humble Boy, and most recently A Woman in White with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, and she's an award-winning playwright and probably one of Britain and Ireland's, you know, greatest women playwrights. And it's interesting that this is her first, you know, her very first play, which, I don't know how many years, 96, and it's now 2013, had never been produced on a professional scale. So proves our point that there is a huge gap in the market.
Absolutely.
For women writers.
Yeah.
We're
the
delighted.
The play itself, Air Swimming, mm-hmm. is about a topic again was probably came under Touch Me Not back in 1996 when it was first written and produced, because it tackles a topic and an issue that we associated with Ireland. We're talking, of course, about the Magdalen Laundries. And perhaps you can take it from there, because we thought it was, we were of the opinion that Magdalen Laundries was peculiar to Ireland and indeed mm-hmm. peculiar to, the Catholic Church in Ireland. But fill us in.
It was news to me as well when in 2003 when John Keating, our director
and a
great friend, brought this play to me and said, listen, you got to read this. There's a great role in it for you, as an actor, but it's something I'd like to direct and I think would you be interested in producing? And I read it and I thought, wow, this is special. It's hard, it's really tricky material, but it's very special. But the actual, the topic of women who are incarcerated for having children out of wedlock in the early 1900s, perhaps earlier even, all the way through to 50s, 60s, not only, it was news to me that it not only occurred, this phenomena, in Ireland with the Magdalen Laundries, but was widespread in Great Britain. This play is very loosely based on the idea of a news article that came out in the press in the 80s about a Miss Kitson and a Miss Baker who were locked up by their families. They were upper-class British women who were locked up by their families in an institution for the criminally insane because they had children out of wedlock and were forgotten about and were never released. And in the 70s, when these institutions were closing down, you know, these women were displaced. They didn't know what they first of all, they could not, how difficult would it be to merge into society in the 70s at age 70, etc. Very, very difficult. I thought, my goodness, it's ferocious, you know, this concept that, you know, women who are on the cusp of society, so to speak, who there's a little bit more to the play. Yes, some of these women may have parts of their personalities that might be a little, you know, not altogether there.
Right.
You know, there's a simplicity about one of the girls, Persephone, who has a baby out of wedlock with a married man in the 1920s, very upper class British. And the other girl has been locked up for having a child out of wedlock, or children out of wedlock, as it's referred to. But she's also has never really explored her sexuality. You know, she likes to dress in men's clothes and, you know, pretend she's mm-hmm. a soldier. And these were women whose behavior was not acceptable in that era. So the shame of it, the shame that all of these topics bring, it didn't just occur in Ireland. You know, this was widespread.
Mm.
This Air Swimming explores their friendship. Two people who would never be friends in the outside world, being forced to live in one room together for. From the 20s right through 1924 all the way through to the 70s and they rely completely upon each other for friendship and support.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it explores the bond, you know, between these two women and the psychology of being incarcerated, the emotional toil it has upon their personalities.
This play does not in any way reflect on what we perceive as being an arm of the Catholic Church, where the Magdalene laundries, again, just to fill in a little bit in the background, is that these girls who had children out of wedlock, regardless of their age, many of them 12 years old, 14 years old, in their early teens, where they could hardly, many of them didn't even understand
exactly
what had happened. But we associate in Ireland, all of them, and indeed have no problem pointing fingers at the church, at the nuns, the sisters who were in charge, you know, of these laundries, Magdalene laundries. Basically, these women were taken in, and they worked in laundries, and in fact, in a prison-like
setting.
Mm-hmm. And this was not, as the play points out,
mm-hmm.
this was basically for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because the opportunities for adoption or of getting these women to move into and to merge into society, obviously, with the passage of time, each year, mm-hmm. it became less feasible.
Yeah, exactly.
Your air swimming does not point any fingers at any religion or whatever. What is the background of that? Where was this place? Who ran it? What do we learn?
Well, the playwright, it's, you know, a fictitious story based on an article that she had read about these two wee girls. But there were institutions for the criminally insane. They weren't even run by necessarily by the nuns, or they weren't laundries. The girls were thrown in with the worst cases of the worst mental health cases. You know, they were mixed in with them. There was nothing wrong with these women. Mm-hmm. You know, mentally, they should never have been.
Well, there was nothing wrong with them mentally when they went in. When they went in. And obviously it didn't take very long, because of the claustrophobic surroundings and the lack of any type of therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't...
No therapy. They were thrown in with the most dangerous of, you know, criminally insane patients at that time. The play explores how they what they do to cope, how they survive, how they depend upon each other for their, you know, for friendship, for sanity, and within their own world, they create these alter egos, you know, to these two characters that they play with, like children who are play acting. They create this whole play world around them, so as to escape their reality and in some way survive. And I don't know how they actually did survive. And that's what the play is about. The playwright Charlotte Jones explores this world that they create, you know, their survival world, and how they got through that. And how they, you know, right through to the 70s, we see them at different periods of their life.
Incredible. And extremely well portrayed.
Thank you.
You were made for the role.
Thank you.
It's a tough topic, but also, this is very, very deep. Mm. And, you know, you're under the microscope for that period. It's playing at the Irish Repertory Theatre and in the Scott McLucas Studio Theatre, which is the second theatre of the in the Irish Repertory Theatre, and it's running through.
It's running from now through to February 3rd.
To February 3rd.
Yes.
And how many shows?
We do like 7 shows a week. Wednesdays 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Thursday 7 p.m. Friday 8 p.m. Saturday 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. and then very Sunday good. Matinee at 3 p.m.
Yeah, well, obviously you don't need any sleep at all. And and tell us about Rachel
Pickup. The lovely and talented Rachel Pickup is an actress that I worked with in at the wonderful Irish Rep in Dancing at Lunasa, the revival last year.
Yes.
And so John Keating brought this play to me in 2003, but we never, you know, with one role for myself, but we could never cast the other part because we didn't have the, we never found the right actor to play the role. And then when I worked with Rachel, not only is she a brilliant actor and just a lovely, lovely, lovely person, and as soon as I started working with her and she was playing my sister in Dancing at Lunasa, she was playing Agnes, I realized, oh my God, this girl could really do this role. And so I went back to John after all those years and said, hey, are you still interested in doing? And he said, absolutely. So, and he loved her work as well. Rachel is from London and, is an English actress herself, and, her father is Ronald Pickup. The British actor, and she's is an award-winning RSC actor and herself, and just we're so lucky to have her on board with this project with us, and it's just been a terrific experience.
You know, has anybody mentioned to you in passing that there are easier roles, that there are easier challenges out there, and that, you know, as you undertook Fallen Angel Theatre Company back then, you know, are you perhaps a closet mountain climber?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like my father. And he not only climbed that mountain, he climbed that mountain, but he got to the top.
Absolutely. Well,
so I hope to God that, you know, I love what I do. I love theatre and I love women writers. Putting something like this together, I thrive on it. I thrive on the challenges that having a not-for-profit theatre company has presented to me, especially a women's company in a very much a man's world. We still live in a man's world. And I thrive on those challenges. I think no matter what the economy is doing or saying or predicting, you know, you cannot stop art from emerging. You cannot stop the creativity of art. And you know, I think when, you know, funding is lacking, or we were talking about this earlier, yourself and myself, you know, it doesn't stop great art from happening. If you love something, you do need funding, of course you do. But, you know, I'd put on a little play out on the street if I had to, you know, and it would still be well received because you've got great actors, great writers, great director, great set designer, great lighting designers. These are all really talented people. And
could we move you to the top of the list there? You really are. You don't have to respond to this, but I think that, you know, I'm speaking with Charlotte Moore, Kieran O'Reilly, and many others, they will say, you know, that nobody works harder or puts as much into it as you do yourself.
Thank you. And you are lucky
to have a great director in John Keating, who we've known forever. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
It is Playing Friends at the Irish Repertory Theatre, which is on 22nd Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. Plenty of parking down there, especially in the evenings, not a street parking. It is, and this is something worth seeing. If you're going to go out for an evening of light entertainment, don't go to see Air Swimming. But if you want to take something and to experience something that unfortunately was based on a real story, if not thousands of real stories, then I suggest you get to Air Swimming at the Irish Repertory Theatre, which is produced by my guest in studio, Aideen Maloney. The telephone number is 212-727-2737. And actually, you can go to irishrep.org. And what about Fallen Angel Theatre? Do you have a...
We do indeed. Fallen Angel is at fallenangeltheatre.org.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Aideen. Thank you.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.